Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Burlander. The September jobs report came in Friday, and it came in much better than expected. What does it say about the economy and what the Federal Reserve could decide to do on interest rates? For more on this, let's go to the Holland Group hotline. Check them out at askthehollands.com and bring in our next guest, our market and aviation expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you this morning. And let's begin with that jobs report. Think that means there's definitely going to be another interest rate hike coming before the end of the year, right?
Yeah, I think that, of course, last month we were talking about how the jobs report was going to be one of the factors that in October the Fed was going to digest as they were trying to decide exactly which way they were going to go. And when you have a jobs report that almost doubles what was expected at 336,000 jobs that were rolled out, it exceeded expectations big time. And it shows businesses are going to look, they're going to continue to add workers despite, you know, the interest rate hikes, despite the fact they're going to have to hire a lot of these individuals at higher than what they would like to wages. And of course, pass those costs on to us. And the thought is, yeah, that the Fed is more than likely going to be looking sooner than later at least one more interest rate hike, which I think most of us were kind of looking for before the end of the year. The question is going to be, if they do roll out a quarter point, what's going to be the surrounding dialogue with regards to what the Fed is then looking for, concerned about, and what the next step might be? So, yeah, going to be a lot of moving parts and what's going to be a very interesting October.
You know, there's a balance that the Federal Reserve, I'm sure, is trying to reach here, and it's a really, really tough one because you've got an economy that continues to progress. I mean, that was a much stronger jobs report than the expectations. But you also have mortgages that are almost about to hit 8%. So, you know, it's a really interesting time, and it's just a difficult balance to strike, to not push too much, but also to continue to work to get that inflation number where they want it to be.
It's almost an impossible task when you look at it, because anytime the Fed has done anything along this line in the past, the country has been pushed into a recession. It's not been a matter of yes or no. It's been a matter of how much of a recession. So the idea that we've gone this far this long and we've not yet gone over that cliff suggests that certain people are doing some the right things. They're pushing the right buttons and they're doing it in the right sequence, even with the Fed, in their own words, arriving late to the party with regards to trying to respond to the battle with inflation. And again, I'll reiterate it that this is going to be a battle that I think is going to go on for some time, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the Fed's going to be doing, because you and I both know they're not coming off that 2% inflation target. So as a result, that's going to dictate their next move. It's a playbook that they've stuck with from day one, and they're going to continue to do so.
And just to put this into perspective for everyone, there was a piece in Axios that had a really good anecdote. A $500,000 30-year mortgage would have cost about $1,900 per month at the 2.8% mortgage rate that was available just back in early 2021. Today, with a 7.9% rate, that payment over $3,400, a 77% increase. That's the reality.
We've not received that much of a pay increase at work. So where's that extra money coming from? It's brutal, and it's tough. Yeah. And for a lot of people that are looking for homes, Ryan, that's a reality that it's staring at them in the face.
All right, so I want to get your thoughts and get your take on what's happening over in Israel as it relates to flights. Let's switch over to the aviation side of things. Again, we're joined by our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff, right now. What are we seeing in terms of cancellations and flights to and from Israel following the Hamas terrorist attack from the other day?
Well, I will say the pre-market numbers for the Dow are down only about 135 points. So that's the Wall Street side of perhaps what's going on in Israel. But as far as the aviation side, we had the Federal Aviation Administration that urged airlines and pilots to use extreme caution when flying anywhere at or around Israeli airspace. Now, we've had United, American, Delta, and others announce that they've temporarily suspended flights in and out of Tel Aviv, saying that future operations at that airport are going to be suspended until conditions allow them to resume. So airlines are doing what we want them to do. They're erring on the side of caution. to make sure that none of their aircraft, their crew, and their passengers are placed at any risk. Yeah. And that's what tends to happen. I don't care if there's a conflict in Africa, if it's somewhere in the Middle East, if it's in Asia, they're going to route their airplanes around some of those affected areas just to be cautious. And that's certainly what we're seeing play out right here.
Yeah, because the rocket fire continues into Israel as we speak. All right, last story I want to get to. What in the world is this fake airline parts story all about? Were there major airlines that had parts that were either fake or weren't up to the right standards that were operating as part of their planes?
Yes, we've had, I think, Delta American and United, Delta being the latest, revealed that they had engine parts, service parts that were replaced that were fake or fraudulent parts. They came out of a vendor that provided airplane parts for engines around the world, and it was found out that some of these parts were fraudulent. And now, fortunately, within the airline industry, from a maintenance standpoint, Ryan, everything is documented, part numbers, so it's easy for us to spot and walk back where some of these parts might be affected.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the idea that they even got into the system,
yeah,
got approved, and are a part of airplanes that have been flying all over the world is horrific,
right,
to say the least. And fortunately, the airlines around the world are doing what they need to as far as pulling the affected airplanes out of service. And this is a story that week by week continues to get bigger. So we're going to see, you know, I think with Delta, they had 21 aircraft that could have parts within the engine that were unauthorized components.
That is scary.
And when you look at all of this, it's, you know, thankfully we're doing it without anything happening.
Right.
But the big issue is, how did it take place and how did it not get caught? And certainly, what can we do in the future to make sure something like this never, ever happens again?
Absolutely. Our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, really appreciate the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Coming up, we're going to go live to Jerusalem and check in with ABC News correspondent Jordana Miller for the latest on the situation over there, including the rocket fire Israelis have been dealing with yet again this morning. Back with that in a moment.